preach out of the hymn. There's so much doctrinal truth there and stuff. That's one of them. And when Brian is doing this, I almost caught myself getting my pen out and writing notes in the hymnal. I was like, we're studying it. And I thought, wait a minute, this isn't my hymnal. I can't write in this. But that was really good. I appreciate it. And I tell you, Fanny Crosby, just an amazing, amazing woman. And these great hymns. Appreciate that. James chapter 1 and verse 4. Teacher was teaching a class. Let me see if I got my thing here. And he told the class, he said, tell you what, you all been studying hard. You all really feel like you know all this. And he said, what I'm going to do is, if you want to leave now, I'll give you a B for the final. And you'll have a B on your final grade. Whole slew of the kids got up, said, praise the Lord, amen. And they walked out. And there's about four or five stayed there to stay and take the test. He said, tell you what, since you guys are taking this class seriously, you get an A and you don't have to take it. So that wasn't exactly how it went, but I couldn't find my... Oh, there it is. You want me to tell it again? No, you don't. He stood before class. It was organic biology. And he said, it's been a pleasure teaching you. I know you've all worked very hard. Many of you are off to medical school after the summer. So that none of you get your GPA messed up because you might have been celebrated a bit too much this week. Anybody who would like to opt out of the final exam will receive a B. It's much rejoicing. The class, the students got up, passed by the professor, thanked him, signed out on his offer. At last, as the last taker left the room, the professor looked over the handful of remaining students and asked, anyone else? This is your last chance? One more student rose up and left, and the other professor closed the door, took the attendance of those students remaining, says, I'm glad to see that you believe in yourselves. Each of you gets an A. And so I thought that was kind of neat. But my point is, it fits into the message. The point is, if we want to be everything God intends for us to be, we've got to go through some hard schooling, some hard knocks. Look at James chapter 1 with me, if you would. I'm going to be real quick and right to the point. Look at verse 1. James, the servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That's the introduction. Then he gets to the meat of the matter. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now we get to verse 4. We've dissected those two verses. Now we look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So the first two verses, verse 2 and 3, he talks about the process that the trials we face, that process that they do in producing patience. Then in verse 4, he says, we have a responsibility. If this is going to work out to what it's intended for, then you and I have to let that take its course. It's not a very creative title, patiently patient, but I came up with a subtitle this afternoon. Krispy Kreme Christians. Let's pray. That sounds good right there, doesn't it? Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray you'd help me to be faithful to your Word tonight. Fill me is my great prayer with your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. And I pray that we would be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, as you intend for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Last October, we were doing... fingerprints. And each morning we come in, we assemble the scripture. And one morning we came in, I want to say it was Thursday or Friday morning, we came in, and on the counter in the kitchen, now we're set up in the fellowship hall, most of you know how fingerprints is, we're set up in the fellowship hall, and I got in there early in the morning before anyone else, and sitting on the counter was 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. We don't have a Krispy Kreme store around here. And so I thought, well, that's nice. Somebody brought in some Krispy Kreme. I thought Brother Hummel brought them. And we went through, didn't we, Betty? We examined, we did a CSI investigation. And we could not find out who in the world brought those Krispy Kreme donuts. We have no idea. And I'm on the verge, I'm this close to being convinced that an angel from heaven showed up with 2 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and put them. We have no idea where they came from. But Krispy Kreme donuts are great. Can I get a witness? Amen. They are really good. And I did a little research on Krispy Kreme donuts. And I found out, am I turned on, Dave? I found out, first of all, there are certain ingredients. I got inspired by the Caldwells, okay? I found out that in Krispy Kreme donuts, there are certain ingredients. Now, a Krispy Kreme donut is delicious. Amen or not? A Krispy Kreme donut is delicious. But I got looking at what goes into making a Krispy Kreme donut as far as ingredients. And I found out there's a few basic things. One thing that is in a Krispy Kreme donut is flour. Now, some of them have barley flour and unbleached wheat flour, but they have flour. And you know what I found out? That flour tastes terrible. Did you ever eat flour? It is nasty. Yuck. I mean, if you came out tomorrow morning, fellas, your wife had a bowl of flour for breakfast, you'd say, this is yucky. I don't want this. But flour is part of Krispy. Then I found out that there's also, now they have some kind of fancy oil in theirs, but all I had was vegetable oil. I found out there's vegetable oil in here. Did you ever drink vegetable oil? Yuck. Nobody has a meal and pours a glass of vegetable oil with their meal. So flour is blech. And vegetable oil is yuck. I found out there's salt. Now, generally I'm on a high sodium diet, but but I don't know anybody in their right mind that just eats salt out of the container, you know, just eat. Nobody does that. Salt by itself is really yucky. Nobody wants that. I found out that there is eggs in those donuts. Now, there's a lot you can do with an egg, but an egg in and of itself. Now, some people, bodybuilder stuff, they eat raw eggs. They're knuckleheads. I don't want to eat a raw egg. And there is also butter in there, along with several other things. Now, when I was a kid, I loved butter. I wanted butter on everything. And we thought we were poor. We really were pretty well off. We weren't poor at all. But Mom was very restrictive on what you put butter on. Were you raised that way? But I always wanted to get butter on everything. And so one time Mom and Dad were gone, and I climbed up in the cabinet, and I don't even think they had margarine back then. It was just sticks of butter. And you didn't put it in the fridge because it got so hard. You left it in the cabinet, right? And so I got up, found that stick of butter. I started munching on it, you know. Yuck! So here's my point. Krispy Kreme donuts, when it's all said and done, are really, really good. But the individual ingredients that are necessary to come up with the Krispy Kreme donut is very, very yucky. I don't want to eat any of this stuff in and of itself. I did a little more research. I don't want to spill that flour. Good night. I did a little more research, and I found out the process of making Krispy Kreme donuts. First of all, they'll knead the dough. It goes through a machine, does all this, but they knead that dough. They put all this stuff together, and they knead that dough. And then it goes to the thing, and they take a blast of super high-pressure air, and they, boom, blow right through that ball of dough and blow the hole for the donut. Now, I don't know how that little ball of dough feels, but that would hurt. Right? And then, once they do that, the dough ball is in shock. And they have these type of elevators that this process, it goes up and down through this super hot oven type thing. And that little dough with the hole blown out of it goes up and down, and they have it at a super hot temperature and just the right humidity. Very, very uncomfortable. And that causes the dough to rise into the donut thing. Once it gets through there, if you were that donut, you would be like, good night. What more do I have to go through? It comes off of that elevator thing, and it drops into boiling hot oil. And just sears that. Then it comes up out of there, and they let it cool. And I'm thinking that donut is thinking, good grief, surely this is it. I've had my middle blown out. I've been cooked, and I've been dropped in boiling hot oil. Then there's another stage. Then it goes through, and hot melted icing is poured down over that donut. I mean, the ingredients are yucky. The process is horrendous. But boy, what comes out at the end is really, really good. And that is what James chapter 1, verse 4 is telling us. In fact, all three of these verses. The process is tough. If you and I are going to be a mature Christian, if you and I are going to be a Krispy Kreme donut Christian, a Krispy Kreme Christian, and by that I mean a Christian that is pleasing to God, that is a sweet savor to the Lord, that brings pleasure to my Savior and my God. And that's what we want, right? I want to please my Savior. And so if I'm going to be a Krispy Kreme Christian, I'm going to have to go through some hot trials. I might have to be dipped in some hot oil. I might have to engage in some yucky ingredients. I heard Dr. Hiles years ago tell a story. There's a preacher meeting, and they were having testimony. And one of the fellas stood up, and he said, I love buttermilk biscuits. And everybody said, amen. He said, but I hate flour. I hate flour. And he went through the whole, I hate yeast. But I love buttermilk biscuits. And that guy is saying the same thing I'm saying here. To get the final result of something that is pleasing and good and a sweet savor to God, we have to go through some difficult things. Verse 2 and 3, as I mentioned, addresses the process that God uses in getting us to a point where we can be the people He intends to be. Look at it again. My brethren, count it all joy. He talks about our mentality going into this, our standing. When you fall into diverse temptations, that word temptation, remember, means trials, hardships. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, God works us over, and He works us like a potter does the clay, because He's making us into something. But verse 4 is a very important aspect in this whole process. And this is where I have a responsibility. Verse 2 and 3 is basically God either allowing or bringing trials into my life. And I have the right attitude about it. I understand what He's doing. I understand what this is about. But in verse 4, if I'm going to turn into that donut, if I'm going to be that Christian God intends for me to be, there's a very important responsibility on my shoulders. Look at verse 4 and the first word, or the second word. But let patience have her perfect work. My first point is this. And I'm going to try and get this as quick as I can. My first point is this. I must grant permission for this whole process to accomplish what God intends for it to accomplish. That word let is an important word. It's addressing my responsibility in my spiritual development. I can choose to allow the trials that God is bringing into my life. I can choose to allow them to mold me and make me into the person I want. Or I can say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let this process carry through. The word allow simply means this. It's a very simple definition. It's very easy to find a definition. It simply means to allow something to happen. Or it has, one of them had this definition, to avoid hindering. It's getting out of the way. I'm not interfering. I'm letting this pass by. I'm letting this process take place. I'm not interfering with it. I'm not hindering it. I'm not stopping it from happening. And he says, but let patience have her perfect work. It means to allow it to take its course. Now the word patience there simply means this, and a faithful endurance. This is what I'm trying to say. And this is what I believe this is teaching. God brings trials into my life. I can either trust Him and let Him accomplish what He's doing, or I can step up and I can fight it. I can try and hinder that. I can try and stop that process of me becoming a complete an entire Christian. God allows trials. Sometimes someone will do something that isn't pleasing to God, but God allows it to happen, and I bear the consequences of that. God has allowed that person's actions that may hurt me, God's allowed that into my life. Now, I can get bitter. I can get angry. I can lash back. Or I can let that hardship have its perfect work. I can step back and say, all right, God, I wouldn't have chosen this. I have no choice over this. But Lord, I'm going to let this have its course. And that's what he's saying here. The word but, let patience have its perfect work. Sometimes, verse 2 and 3, he's talking about these trials, these hardships. But you get to verse 4, and the idea here is, I get the impression that he's dealing with some trials that last longer than we thought they would last. Trials that are more difficult than we thought they would be, or that we would like for them to be. And all right, I understand God's allowed a difficulty in my life. I understand this trial is a God working patience in my life. I understand that. But man, that thing goes on a whole lot longer than I anticipated it going on. And man, the weeks turn into months and the months turn into years and I'm still dealing with this. And I'm still being worked over by this hardship. And finally there comes a point, you know, where I'm tempted to say, hey, I've had enough. And verse 4 is saying, don't do that. Let that thing take its course. Be patient in your patience. That process is going on. Boy, I'm being patient. Be patient in your patience. Let that thing get to its course. Let that thing work itself out. Give permission. Verse 4 is saying, give permission for that trial to accomplish its task. Give that permission for that trial to have time enough to fulfill what God is intending for it to do. Every aspect of the Christian life and growth is dependent. I like this statement. Every aspect of my growth as a Christian, the development of my faith, every aspect of it is dependent upon my willingness to let God have His way. Don't we get into trouble when we say, oh no, not I'm going to do this my way? It's when we start getting into trouble. Oh no, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I've had all I can take of this. Lord, it's gone too far. And we lose our patience and we interfere and we don't let it accomplish its course. If I'm going to grow and be what God wants me, I got to step back and say, God, You have Your way. However long, whatever it takes, I'm going to be patient in my patience and let this thing work itself out. God's not going to do anything against our will. You follow what I'm saying? God has never saved a person against their will. I heard a guy years ago said this. He was a Calvinist. And he made this statement. He said, God saved me kicking and screaming. In other words, God saved him against his will. I don't believe that for one minute. God doesn't save people against their will. Now you say, well, I got somebody that's not willing to be saved. God won't save them against their will, but I will give it this. God sure is good at changing our will. Man, God can back us into a corner. God can break us down. But He's not going to do anything against our will. And I am not going to grow as a Christian. Get this. If I don't agree with God and say, okay, God, I'm going to let You do whatever You need to do to develop my faith and make me the Christian I ought to be. We were talking sometime this week. I was talking to somebody. I can't recall off the top of my head. We were talking about Amy Carmichael. How many people recognize that name? Amy Carmichael. What an amazing woman. Missionary to India. Maybe we were talking to Sam. You and I and Sam were talking. Amy Carmichael was a beautiful, intelligent woman. And she fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ in an unusual way. And she said, Lord, I give myself to You. And God called her to India. And she said she forgoed marriage. What? What's the word I want, Sandy? She forsook marriage. She sacrificed, gave up, said, I'm not going to get married so I can give my whole life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And God used her in amazing ways. In India, bringing little temple prostitutes, bringing them to Christ and rescuing them from that horrendous religion. And rescuing, though, they used to, if a man died, they would burn his widow at his funeral. They would burn his widow alive. And she would rescue them and did a lot to change that. Amy Carmichael, she wrote, there's a book about her by Elizabeth Elliot. Tremendous book. It's called Born Crucified. You ought to read that. No, Born to Die. I'm sorry, Born to Die. So God is saying here, listen, her whole life was given to hardship and difficulty. But boy, how God used her. How God used her. Let patience have its perfect work. Grant permission to patience to do its will. One of the most important aspects of a growing, maturing Christian is faithful and continual submission to the will of God. We had revival. I don't know about you, my heart was stirred. I knelt there, and just because of my position and responsibilities, I often make this little pew right here. I make that an altar right there. As he preached and the Spirit of God stirred my heart and convicted me sometimes, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I want this. But you know what? I need to let that go, not just during revival, but it needs to be the next week and the next month and next year. I need to let that thing, what God started in my heart, let that work. Am I making sense? Give permission to what God's doing. Let me give you the last one real quick, and then the product. Look what it says. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. That's what God is trying to do in your life and my life. I find nowhere in Scripture, I can't find one event or passage in Scripture where being patient has negative consequences. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where if I'm patient, it's going to turn out bad. If I'm patient, something terrible is going to happen. I don't find that at all. You know what I find out in Scripture? That when I am patient, when I am trusting God, when I am waiting on God, when I am letting God have His way, without fail, it produces something good in my life. Without fail, I come out of it a stronger Christian, perfect and entire. There's a world of difference between being patient and being negligent, right? I can't say, well, I can't neglect something and say, well, I'm just being patient. That's not the same. And so, perfect. It says perfect. That word perfect means fully developed, complete. And entire means everything in place. In other words, how many folks they used to say this, when a baby was born, remember the old-timers? What was the first thing they did when a baby was born? After that. Thing is, they started that on me and never quit. You know, smacking on the rear. Just, what do they do? Count its fingers and toes. Anybody remember that? And they told us, my grandma said, when Sam was born, count his fingers and toes. I said, why? And we had to look. Wow, sure enough. You know what? Because they want him to be entire. Want that child to have all the organs and parts that God intends for them to have. And perfect means to mature, bring to maturity. So the idea is this. God brings trials into our lives. Sometimes they last longer or they're harder than I thought they would be or I anticipated or I want them to be. And I got to step back and say, all right, let this thing go. I'm going to give permission to this, carry it out to the end. And the end is that I have everything God intends for me to have, and it's fully developed. That I am the Christian completely and fully that God intends for me to be. There's nothing. When he says nothing, wanting nothing, that's a summary of what he's saying. Here is a Christian that is mature. They have everything God intends for them to have as far as abilities and their understanding. And they have absolutely taken it to its potential. This is complete and entire. There is no way I can be a strong Christian. There's no way I can be a mature Christian without facing trials. I wish there was some other way. I wish there was a quick way to be a mature Christian. I wish there was a shortcut.
I wish that my faith could be strong. I wish that I could be a mature, wise Christian and not have to have my heart broken. I wish I could be what God wants me to be and not ever be disappointed and not ever be hurt. I wish it was possible for Christians to be strong in their faith and not have to face cancer. And not have to face disappointment and hurt. But the Bible's very clear. The only way we can grow and be strong in our faith is through the trials and temptations that God brings into our lives, that God allows for us to face. And we have to step back and say, God, I'll let this have its full course. I'll let it carry out. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to fight this. Because I want to be a good, strong, mature, complete Christian. And that's what he's saying. Let it take place. Be patient in your patience. I thought about Moses. Moses was patient, but he wasn't patient in his patience. Remember when he came down off the mountain with the slabs of stone with the Ten Commandments on? He saw Aaron rocking and rolling and big party going on, dancing and carrying on. He lost his patience. What did he do? You bunch of heathen. He lost his temper. He didn't let patience have its perfect work. And he paid a price. God says, all right, this time you carve out the stone. You bring it back up the mountain. I'll carve it back in. That was tough. He got out there. They're out in the wilderness. And God said, speak to the rock. And he was going through it. I mean, God was testing Moses with the actions of the Israelites. I mean, man alive, they were pushing his buttons and they were trying his patience. And he did pretty good. But he didn't let it have its perfect work. And he stepped in and said, must I draw water from this rock? And he struck it twice. Lost his temper. And he didn't let patience have its perfect work. And he never entered the promised land. So I was studying this. I got thinking, I wonder if Moses would have let patience have its perfect work. I wonder if he wouldn't have been the one crossing the Jordan River and leading them in rather than Joshua. I wonder if that wasn't God's initial intention for Moses. But he stepped in. He got angry. And he didn't let patience have its perfect work. It's another fellow, and I was going to turn there, but we don't have time. And I end with this. Joseph. Joseph is an amazing man. I'll just give you the references. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2, we find that he's 17 years old. He's young. Would you agree with me? Now, some of you aren't going to agree with me, but the fact of the matter is, a 17-year-old kid is very immature. Anybody over 20 agrees with that. And think I'm picking on you, let me say this. When I was 17 years old, I was very immature. I was not prepared for life. There's a reason you can't vote in different things when you're 17 years old. Joseph was 17 years old. He was very immature. And that manifests itself. In verse number 2, he goes and he's tattling on his brothers. I wish we had time to go there. It's a fascinating study. But he's coming and telling Daddy what all his brothers are doing. Listen, there's a place to report and whatnot, wrongdoing. But being a tattletale is very immature. And so he's being this little brat. And every little thing his brothers did, Dad, do you know what Reuben did? What? And then you come down to verse number 3, and he's a spoiled brat, I think. Of all the brothers, Joseph gets the coat of many colors. And he got special treatment from Daddy. Joseph was young and immature. He was a tattletale. I think he was spoiled. And there's another thing. He brags. In verse number 5, he has these dreams God gives him as a 17-year-old kid that his brothers are going to bow down to him. His parents are going to bow down to him. Sun and moon bow down to him. Now, the mature thing would have been to just keep that to yourself. But he doesn't. Hey, guess what, brothers? You guys, I had a dream. God told me you're going to bow down to me. Well, you idiot. I ain't bowing down to you. Right? So Joseph starts out, his faith is very immature. He's not complete. He's just a young kid. But brother, he goes through the trials, doesn't he? And he's assaulted by his brothers. They're going to kill him. God intervenes through one of his other brothers, sells him as a slave. He lives as a slave. He's falsely accused. He's unjustly jailed for years. He's completely forgotten about. He went through diverse temptations. But Joseph, unlike Moses, let patience have its perfect work. And you don't find anywhere that Joseph got bitter. You don't find anywhere that Joseph got angry or threw a temper tantrum. We don't find anywhere that he took the things in the jail and started slamming them around and knocking things over and somebody's going to pay for that. None of that. He just let patience have its perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work. And you get to Genesis chapter 50, and his brothers come up after his daddy died, and they said, Daddy told us before he died that you're not supposed to do anything for us for trying to kill you. Well, that was a lie. And Joseph's response is classic, mature faith. He goes, oh yeah, I learned something. I learned that you guys meant evil, but God meant it for good. And all that you guys planned and all that has happened to me, I have learned that God was behind all of it. And God had a plan and he had a perfect work that he was trying to accomplish. I'm not mad at you guys. In fact, the Bible says he wept over his brothers, that they would even think that. And he goes from being an immature, selfish, tattletale punk kid to being an extremely mature man of God that understands how God works. And God used him in a great way. I hate flour. Yuck. I wouldn't want that in my mouth. I would never drink vegetable oil. I don't want it. I'm not going to go home tonight afterward and sit down, read my book, and drink vegetable oil. That's disgusting. I want to eat yeast. How many people here would take a spoonful of yeast and just eat it for a snack? But brother, if there was a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts at home, wham! I'd be all over that. And that's what God says. What you go through, what we go through, that's not fun. That's yucky. It's hard. It's difficult. But let it have its course. Go through the heater and the humidity. Don't get dropped in the hot oil. Go through the searing hot icing poured down all over you. That sounds kind of fun. But when it's all said and done, boy, you're nice. Something to offer the Lord. It's a blessing. Isn't that good? Father in heaven, help us, Lord, to let patience have its perfect work. Help us, Lord, just to trust you and let you work and have your way in our lives. Lord, some of us, you began a work in this revival this week. You began molding and working and convicting and challenging, and we need to just let that carry through and let that thing go. Let it work out what you're wanting us to do. Some of us, Lord, are going through some pretty tough times. Help us not to be bitter. Help us not to get angry. Help us just to let it go and let you work it out and see what you're doing. When it's all said and done, we look back and say, God is good. We had a plan. Help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many say, preacher, pray for me that I would let patience have its perfect work in my life. That I would let the Lord have his way. God bless you. Hands all around. Let's just kneel at an altar tonight and say, here I am, Lord. I'm letting you do whatever you need to do. I'm letting it happen. I'm going to let it carry through. I'm just going to trust you and have faith in you. Father, bless our invitation, I ask. In Jesus' name. Let's